This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. If you go online looking for, say, restaurant recommendations, you might well go to Urban Spoon. If you're looking for love, you might wind up at Match.com. If you did either of those, you'd be going to sites owned by a company called IAC, which is run by a guy named Barry Diller, who from his earliest days in a mailroom in Hollywood has seen the future and been able to make money from it. In movies, at the Fox Network, before it was a network, online, and now he hopes in publishing. It's a new company called Brightline, ebooks to start and then printed ones down the road. So today on Conversations from the Corner Office, Barry Diller, the chairman of IAC. Mr. Diller, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What is it about this moment in the publishing business that made you say that it's ripe for an opportunity for you with Brightline?
I think publishing is going to go through, has been going through, but in the next 5 years, 10 years at the most, is going to go through more transition than it's had in the last 100 years. Given that there are six big publishing houses that dominate the market who have been in business give or take 100 years. I've always been interested in businesses in transition. And if ever there was a business in transition, it is publishing.
Well, just to pick up on that, this is kind of a theme for you, right? This ability you seem to have to grab things that are disruptive and shake them up. You started up Fox Broadcasting and look at it now.
I don't know if it's the contrarian a bit, I guess, in me, and it's that all of my business life, every step of it has had something that was disruptive about it. Some that worked, some that didn't. When we started Fox Broadcasting,
yeah,
and you know, this was in a primarily a three-network universe.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, right?
Cable was going, but wasn't really doing original programming. And so we said, well, we think there should be a fourth alternative. Now there's 78 alternatives. But then it was, well, you must be crazy. You know, that'll never work. Look, you balance doing things against risk. It's not that I'm ever particularly confident. What I am is willing to find out. I'm willing to take the chance when I think that the opportunity is juicy enough.
Was there a moment when you realized that entertainment had to change in order to thrive and make it?
What happened, personally, just to me, which was in 92, I had been in the movie business and television businesses for 20-plus years at senior positions, and I felt I was repeating myself. I felt that there was no longer a great thrill in opening a movie, and Fox was landed. Fox was a big, big success by 92. And I thought, what does the world tell me? And so I drove around for 6 or 8 months and found my way serendipitously to QVC in western Pennsylvania and said, oh my God, that screens for me have been about narrative, telling stories. Here's a screen being used to not only tell about goods, but sell them directly to consumers. I had such a strong instinct that it was the beginning of change, and I was just lucky because 3 years later along came the internet.
You are on the record as opposing, vocally opposing media consolidation. You think it's bad for a bunch of big companies to own everything that we hear, see, and touch and do. Yet you do seem to be acquiring and owning a whole bunch of what we see, hear, and do, certainly online anyway.
Not as much as the big media companies, the big conglomerated media companies.
You don't call yourself a conglomerate and a media company all in one?
I call us a conglomerate, absolutely. And yes, we are a media company. What I was referring to is that the four major film producers and the four major television production entities are all owned by four people. I think there's tremendous diversity now, but I still think the concentration is... I don't say it's un-American or it's antisocial. I think it's inefficient.
Purely from a business sense. Doesn't make good business sense.
I think one of the reasons movies kind of stink is because they're now so low on the totem pole of greater corporate interests. It used to be, Paramount was actually a totally a movie company. That's all we did is make 15 movies a year.
Mm-hmm.
We then expanded it by getting into television, and then it got bought, and then it got consolidated, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, when I came to Fox, Fox was almost totally, it had about 20% of its revenue, maybe 20% of its revenue came from television, 80% came from film. Out of that, look what Fox has become. Multiple cable networks.
Yeah.
International distribution all over the world. Controlling interest in B Sky B. I mean, you know, in other words, it's a multi-diversified company.
Do you worry, along those lines, do you worry that IAC has its fingers in too many pies, that you can't keep track of everything you're doing?
No, I think the best testament to that is, as I say, we've spun off 7 companies. Why did we do it? We did it because we thought that, for instance, once Expedia reached a sufficient size, we thought it ought to stand on its own. It's better for Expedia and the shareholders that will be solely attracted to that, and management that will be have no other defocusing item. But it was because we said that they are better managed this way. I think if we're successful, that will keep happening. And very few companies, no conglomerate is ever going to do that. I mean, it would be great for HBO to stand on its own. No, I think it'd be a great public company. I'd love to own that company.
Huh. This is going to sound like a kind of a sideways question to a guy who is in business, obviously, as everybody is, to make a lot of money. But how do you feel, getting back to our conversation about disruption, how do you feel about losing money on the way to a successful disruption? I ask because of your investment in the Daily Beast and Newsweek,
yeah,
which is, you know, the fading Newsweekly and all that.
Oh, yes, it is.
First
of all, I really do believe that it is it is investment and not losses. You should invest as little as you can to make go what you want to go. But I think you have to have a high tolerance for unproven investment.
Huh.
Now, at a certain point, as we've done in some things, where we've said, well, we've invested $90 million in this, and it hasn't worked out for us. Sell it. Write it off. Go on to the next thing.
Write it off and don't look back.
Absolutely.
One more thing before I let you go. And I ask because you sound like, and I imagine you have to be in your line of work, an inherently optimistic guy, but are you optimistic about the condition of the American economy?
Yes. Every indication.
That was a pretty tentative yes, Mr. Diller. I got to tell
you. Well, only because I was thinking, all right, am I going to get into politics here? But I don't think I will. Other than our really broken political system, and you could say, well, that's a big other, the economy in every sector we deal with and in every sector I look at, all signs are good, except for the fact that we've got high unemployment. High unemployment is going to be solved because there's more demand, and out of that demand is job creation. Without demand, there isn't going to be any. So I think that's all on the come.
Hmm. Barry Diller, he is the chairman and senior executive at IAC. Mr. Diller, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.